From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, January 6th, 2025. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Either yourself, defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, the first full working week of the new year, let's do the Monday march back to work. All right, stand up straight, shoulders back, smile on your face, and a prayer on your lips. Everything is going to be just fine. And I have a sneaky suspicion that it will be a turbulent year, but it's going to be a better year because we're going to have Donald Trump in the White House. All righty, kids, what do you say we get things officially launched with?
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, a truth spoken before its time is dangerous. Wow, I like that. And a truth spoken after its time is just history.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, I know.
Some cool, some not so cool.
I was there.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
All righty.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah, you just bring that bad old quiz on. You'll see what we'll do with it. All right, kids. It was on this day in 1930, Clessy Cummins. That's a name you don't see everywhere. Clessy, that's spelled C-L-E-S-S-I-E. But Cummins is a familiar name, especially if you're a gearhead. He arrived at the National Automobile Show in New York City from Indianapolis, having driven a car powered by one of his diesel engines. See, you're putting two and two together already. You got Cummins Diesel. Those things are so cool. Anyway, I had to bring along his own fuel because nobody carried diesel at the gas stations. And it was on this day in 1994, U.S. figure skater Nancy Kerrigan was attacked and injured by an assailant hired by her rival, Tanya Harding's ex-husband, during the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, lending a whole new meaning to the term taking a knee.
I don't think that's funny.
I love it when a citizen comes forward and speaks to a body like a city council or a county council and a county commissioner's court, that sort of thing, and just vents his or her spleen. And it's happened a lot in the last few years, understandably. But I want to play for you 3 minutes of some of the best time you're going to spend listening to anything. The fellow who's speaking is Mike Foti. That's F-O-T-I. And he's from Buckingham Township, Pennsylvania. And I assume that where he made this little speech, this short speech, oh boy, is it a beauty. I guess it's like the town council for Buckingham, Pennsylvania. And the thing that impressed me was this was posted to YouTube by, I assume, his wife, Deneen Foti. Again, the name is F-O-T-I. That's how it's spelled. But Mike Foti, I want you to listen to the passion in this guy's voice. And then try to guess, as he's speaking, how many millions of Americans he's speaking on behalf of.
It's Mike Foti, and I'm from Buckingham Township, and I honestly don't know what country I'm living in anymore. You made this statement, of course, you've heard it so many times tonight, people violate the laws anytime they want, and you said it so cavalierly, so arrogantly. Of course, Mr. Harvey voted with you. Can you look at me, please? You disrespected the other voters. Thank you. A little respect. You know, I agree. You don't get punished anymore. That's where the country is because of the losing liberal left policies. One state, steal less than $900, it's okay. I go to Home Depot the other day to buy a tool, it's locked up. I asked the guy why. Oh, they come in shopping carts, they load it up, and we can't stop them. We're not allowed to do anything. They're the garbage policies you people endorse, okay? Oh, but you know what? If you're a conservative Christian grandmother and pray outside an abortion clinic, you get 10 years under the FACE Act. That's really fair, isn't it? So let me tell you something. I tried to listen to your apology because everybody deserves a second chance. And you almost had me till you arrogantly rolled your eyes numerous times. It's not hitting with sincerity here, lady. Now, I gotta tell you, thank God on January 20th, there's a new sheriff in town. I know this pains you losing liberals, but you're gonna have to get some TDS training. It's called Trump Derangement Syndrome. Because there's not gonna be any more DEI. There's no more men and women's sports. There's no more men and women's locker rooms. Can you imagine your junior high daughter self-conscious about her body and she has to change or take a shower next to a naked man? Yeah. These are the sick policies you people endorse. So that's gone. There's not gonna be any more rapists and murderers coming over the border. And I just got word that the killer rapist illegal immigrant just got sentenced for killing Lake and Riley. See, that's something you should cheer for, guys, not just look at me. No more illegal aliens on the voter rolls. That was a great one, wasn't it? You're fighting to put them back on. That's just great. But you know what? I know it pains you, but thank God Donald J. Trump is going to reverse it all. And by the way, please stay with these policies because 80% of Americans don't want them, never did, but you guys are too dense to understand. This country is founded on Christian values. Thank you.
I want to give credit where credit is due. My Facebook friend Gary Percival is the one who called this to my attention, posted it to my wall, and I did a little research. I found the original video on YouTube and did a little search on the internet to find out where Buckingham Township is, and it's just outside the town of Buckingham, Pennsylvania, which is a few miles northwest of Trenton, New Jersey, and a few more miles due north of Philadelphia. So this guy is from a community that's obviously some kind of a bedroom community, I suppose. And he's not living in a vacuum. This guy lives in the real world with the rest of us. Gary, thanks for sending that along. And to Mike Foti, thank you, man. Just know that millions and millions of Americans are right there with you, pal. As you have probably heard, President Biden bestowed woke Democratic mega donor George Soros with the Presidential Medal of Freedom Saturday. Outraging critics like me, who ripped the selection as a national disgrace, which it is. Now, Soros, who's 94, was among the 19 people chosen to receive the nation's highest civilian honor at the White House. It's a group that included U2 frontman Bono, actor Denzel Washington, and former Senator Hillary Clinton, who also was panned as a recipient. I can't argue with Denzel Washington. He's terrific. Not just a great talent, he's a man of high intellect and great common sense. So he's deserving. Bono also the same. But man, Hillary Clinton and George Soros, really? I mean, Montana Senator Tim Shee said George Soros spent millions electing soft-on-crime politicians that let criminals wreak havoc in our major cities. Hillary Clinton abandoned our Navy SEALs in Libya. Joe Biden's decision to give Hillary Clinton and George Soros the Presidential Medal of Freedom is a national disgrace. That's what it is. It's the Medal of Freedom, not Medal of Honor. So I was all set to get just really apoplectic about this whole thing. I was about to go insane. I was going to come onto this podcast today, and I was going to raise holy hell. And something very important dawned on me. It's the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Presidential. So that means in the future, you can go back and look at all of the prior recipients of this medal, and you can tie the recipients to the president who awarded it. Right? So, you know, when you see George Soros' name or Hillary Clinton's name, you can just trace it back to the president who awarded the medal, which in this case would be Joe Biden. You see the name Joe Biden and just immediately, well, that figures. Consider the source. Now, Soros, his own self, wasn't on hand to get the award. His son and political heir, Alex, was. And the Soros citation read, born into a Jewish family in Hungary, George Soros escaped Nazi occupation to build a life of freedom for himself and countless others around the world. Well, when I heard that part, I was like, wait a minute, you're not telling the whole story here. And then it went on to say, his inspiring generosity reminds us all of our capacity and our obligation to stand up to the abuse of power and to be guardians of democracy and all people yearning to be free. And then Biden repeatedly thanked Soros for what he called all you've done to help this country. Really? How about all he's done to destroy this country and the freedoms we enjoy? How about all he has done to censor conservative thought, conservative speech, and conservative principles? How about the fact that at the age of 14 back in Hungary, he assisted the Nazi SS in rounding up Jews to be shipped off to Auschwitz? Ah, we don't know about that part of his life, do we? Oh, we know about it. Nobody's talking about it. So, Soros is worth more than $7 billion, and he spent decades financing radical left-wing causes, like defund the police, that was him, and groups including Black Lives Matter. He's shifted tens of billions of dollars of his personal net worth over to his Open Society foundations. They fund a multiple list of progressive projects around the world. He's also heavily invested in races to install these far-left district attorneys in major American cities. You look at the idiots out in California running that state. Well, they're in place because of all the help George Soros gave them in getting elected. Soros-backed DAs like Alvin Bragg in New York, Chicago's Kim Fox, who's been just an abomination, George Gascon in Los Angeles, and Philadelphia's Larry Krasner, they've all been ripped for pursuing a Marxist agenda that includes promoting lawlessness in the guise of criminal justice reform over prosecuting criminals. Take California, for instance, especially up there in San Francisco. You've heard me in the past talk about what an awful sight it is to see Market Street, the main drag of San Francisco. It's a long street, used to be full of retail outlets on both sides of the street. You had a huge Apple store there, one of the historic buildings that survived the 1906 earthquake, was converted into an indoor mall. It's all boarded up. Boarded up. It looks like a ghost town. And it's because in San Francisco, a thug can walk into a jewelry store, smash display cases, steal up to $950 worth of merchandise, and they will not pursue him. Is that any way to run a justice system? Of course not. And former NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton, good guy, says the significant financial support of Mr. Soros and his Open Society for far-left woke criminal justice reform, district attorney and mayoral candidates created havoc in the criminal justice system and significant rises in crime and disorder. And then you got Ray Kelly. Remember him, former NYPD commissioner? He said he couldn't think of anyone who's done more to undermine the rule of law in this country than George Soros. And it's true. Soros gave more than $175 million to Democrats during the 2022 midterms. And that's according to Federal Election Commission records. These are not numbers pulled out of thin air. And just this year, Soros funneled another $60 million for House and Senate Democrats and other left-wing causes through his Democracy PAC. And I want to give credit where credit is due. I mean, this election went the way it did this year. Donald Trump won because more and more Americans now know who and what George Soros is. And I need to give credit to Glenn Beck. 20 years ago, Glenn Beck, on his radio program, his daily radio program, was cautioning the American people as to who George Soros is and what it is he does and what his goals are. The man is a criminal. He should be deported. Or if he insists on staying here in the States, he should be locked up for the rest of what life he's still got. I mean, he's 94. But that's one bastard who should be gone. He and his allies have also contributed to a blight in major cities through this harm reduction drug policy of his. In Gotham, a Soros-funded nonprofit raised a lot of eyebrows for handing out free needles, crack pipes, and even devices to cook heroin. GOP Representative Jeff Andrew said, "Truly a sad day for America. Communities all across our country are likely never going to recover from the damage George Soros and his radical left prosecutors have inflicted upon them." Look at Oakland, California. That is a city that is just outright uninhabitable. So, oh yeah, and Soros, who is Jewish, he is not a practicing Jew. In fact, he will probably disavow his Jewishness. But he's been under fire for a long time for funneling tens of millions of dollars to groups supporting anti-Israel protesters on college campuses. I mentioned this earlier this year when those protests hit the campuses. I called your attention, if you recall, to how organized they were, who bought all the tents for these kids to stay under in the summer heat. Who organized this? Soros-funded foundations. So, Senator Josh Hawley, who I think is absolutely wonderful. He's from Missouri. He's great. He said, "Joe Biden is spending his final days in office asking, how can I disgrace myself even more?" And this is just the latest example. Hillary Clinton should have been prosecuted, not celebrated with the nation's highest civilian honor. Josh, you are right. Clinton received a standing ovation, as can be expected, while she accepted her award, which cited her work promoting universal health care, women's rights, and democracy during her time as Secretary of State. No, during her time as Secretary of State, she got 13 Americans killed. My God. So, I don't know. We got other award recipients. Jane Goodall, Ralph Lauren, Michael J. Fox, Magic Johnson. He got an award. And Vogue's editor-in-chief, Anna Wintour, who is one of the most vile, nasty, snobbiest human beings walking the planet. That woman should be tarred and feathered and dragged through the streets of New York. But then again, as I mentioned earlier, consider the source. Consider the person who bestowed the awards. One of the things that constantly angers us conservatives, especially us street-level conservatives, you know, that's what I refer to myself as, a street-level conservative. In other words, like the guy at the front of today's podcast, Mike Foti, right? He kind of represents you and me. And one of the things that has really angered us over the last 4 years is this two-tier justice system of ours, which started at the beginning of the Obama era, okay? Now, there's a new documentary that constitutional scholar John Eastman has produced in which he argues that in recent years, the United States has seen the rise of this two-tier justice system in which the legal system has unfairly targeted lawyers representing conservative clients. And I want to emphasize that word, unfairly. Now, in this new film, it's titled, by the way, The Eastman Dilemma, Lawfare or Justice. And he argues that lawyers who defended President Trump and other conservative figures after the 2020 election faced harsh penalties for questioning election integrity. Penalties that he believes wouldn't be applied if those on the left made similar claims. Now, Eastman is a former law professor, gained national attention for advising Trump on constitutional challenges to election procedures in several key battleground states following the 2020 presidential election. And he's faced both disbarment and criminal charges related to his role. Imagine that. Well, the documentary, which is already I don't know how you get it. Just do an internet search. But it premiered the other day at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort, and it aims to shed light on the problems that he and other lawyers have faced. And alongside Eastman, the movie also features Alan Dershowitz, who's a retired, you know him, he's a retired Harvard law professor and one of the most brilliant legal minds in the world. And then there's also Jeffrey Clark, a senior Justice Department official from the Trump administration. And Eastman says, for the last 3 years, everybody that was involved in raising the serious challenge to illegality in the 2020 election has been targeted for lawfare, criminal prosecutions, and bar disbarment proceedings. Now imagine that. And he posits that the goal of these efforts hasn't only been to get lawyers disbarred, but also send a message so that no one else will dare take on such challenges in the future. This is the tyranny that I keep speaking about. And I'm not the only one speaking about it either. You've got brilliant minds like Glenn Beck speaking about this constantly. He's terrific. Man, I wish I had just a tenth of his talent. Something else that Eastman said was kind of interesting. He said the purpose of the movie is to expose that lawfare, but also put together a brief summary of the evidence of illegality that occurred in the 2020 election so people can know that we weren't making this stuff up. Now, I never believed that they were making it up. And I know a lot of people, most conservatives, never believed that they were making it up. But the problem is the mainstream media thought they were making it up. And that's what really pissed me off. Now, in 2020, Eastman was invited to join an election integrity working group organized at Trump's request. See, behind the scenes, Trump is doing things all the time, and the man is freaking brilliant. I think Trump is a genius. He's every bit the genius that Elon Musk is. Now, this group was formed in anticipation of post-election litigation related to the presidential race. So back on December 6th of 2020, Eastman got a formal engagement letter for legal services defining the scope of the agreement. Now, Eastman is facing criminal charges in both Georgia and Arizona related to his alleged role in efforts to challenge the results of the 2020 presidential election. Can you imagine this? Being labeled a criminal, being charged for just challenging the results of an election? That's happening today in our country, my friend. Now, following 35 days of trial, a California State Bar Court judge found in March of 2024 that Eastman's wrongdoing constitutes exceptionally serious ethical violations warranting severe professional discipline and recommended his disbarment, which is all BS. Judge Yvette Roland, that's the culprit right there. And she ruled that Eastman, who'd held his California law license for more than 26 years, broke ethics rules by advancing Trump's challenges to the integrity of the 2020 election. She wrote, his lack of insight into the wrongfulness of his misconduct is deeply troubling. And Eastman has also been allegedly debanked by Bank of America and USAA. Scumbucket organizations. In an interview in April of this year, Eastman told the Epoch Times that both banks had decided to close his accounts and discontinue doing business with him without offering an explanation. See, that should be outlawed right there. Eastman believed that these actions were connected to his role in advising Trump, and you can bet that's exactly the case. Bank of America spokesperson Bill Halden denied the claims of alleged debanking. And he told the Epoch Times in an email back on January 3rd, he says, due to privacy rules, we don't comment on client accounts. However, I can say that political views are not a factor in any account closing. BS. I'm calling BS on that right now. And they also said that USAA didn't respond to any requests for comment by the time of the publication of an article that the Epoch Times was doing on this. So Eastman once clerked for Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. He's a former dean of Chapman University Law School and a visiting professor at the University of Colorado. Also had to sever ties with both institutions in January of 2021. According to Eastman, he says, they both canceled me in the same week. I've been disinvited from conferences and removed from publications. Why? Because he challenged the results of an election. But despite the challenges of the past 3 years, Eastman says he's never doubted that it was worth it. That's an excellent attitude. And though he still spends nearly all his time defending himself, he remains hopeful that 2025 is going to bring an end to his struggles. If I were a betting man, I would say that it will. Because we got a new sheriff in town starting on the 20th. Oh yeah, they're going to continue to try to prevent that from happening. But there's a new sheriff in town, and if, let's just say, let me play devil's advocate for a second here. Let's just say they do succeed in preventing Donald Trump from taking the White House. Then it goes to J.D. Vance. So Eastman says, I very much look forward to having this stuff past me so I don't have to devote nearly full time to defending myself. Hell, I hear you, man. Anyhow, today, okay, this is a note here. Excellent, thank you. The Eastman Dilemma, Lawfare or Justice, is going to be released today. Okay, good. At least we know that much. I don't know where it's going to be released. I don't know if it's going to be in theaters or if you have to go to some website and stream it. But if you're really interested in it, just do a search on the internet and hope that show is. It's kind of a long title, The Eastman Dilemma, Lawfare or Justice. And what we want in this country is justice. We got to get it back. We don't have it right now. Did you notice that? To the comedy corner. You've seen him on Gutfeld time and time again, and the guy's always funny. Jamie Lissa.
It's just sometimes we don't want, I just don't want to go to the craft store. You just don't want to go. But you oftentimes don't get a choice, even if you try to get out of it. Like, I try to get out of it every single time. She goes, well, honey, I'd like you to go to the craft store with me. And I go, oh, I don't want to. I go, what, is there any way I could not go? And she goes, no, you know, I'd really like you to go. And I go, what do you imagine my role would be at the craft store? Like, what exactly are you expecting from this guy right here? Yeah. And she goes, well, I want your opinion. You know, sometimes I find two things alike. I'm not sure which one to get. I want to know what you think. You know, and I go, oh, okay, I don't care. Yeah, about any of it, you know. So that's how I feel about all that stuff. So maybe you could go by yourself. You know, if you find two things you like, you could hold them up and imagine me going, I don't care. And then I could just stay here, you know, and then that way both of us would be happy instead of just those of us that are you again. And then I don't even remember the argument ending. And all of a sudden, I was just pushing a cart. And it smelled like pine cones. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I feel like this happens to guys more than women. I could be wrong, but I get in like these bad moods in my friend where everyone I see, I just wanna, I'm not gonna do it, but I wanna punch them. Just like everybody, for no good reason. I saw this guy, and all it was, he had a brass rooster in his cart. And it just infuriated me, the whole thing. It made me, I wanted to punch him, punch the rooster. Like, why is he buying? It just made me so mad on so many levels. Like, first of all, why are they selling them? Second of all, why are you buying them? Now you're encouraging them? And I go, what are you making a metal farm? Like, what's happening? Why would you need that? And I'm just in a bad mood, and I'm pushing my cart, and I'm not paying attention. I go around the corner. I hit carts against this guy because I wasn't paying attention. He wasn't paying attention. I look up, and it was this really old guy, right? Like a much older man. And I could tell when I was little, I want to punch him. I could tell in his head, he was like, help! Help me! I could tell. And I go, oh, dude, I feel so bad. And I saw the look in his eye. I didn't even know what to do. I just saluted him. I said, thank you for your service, because I just, Is that what you say? I don't even know. I'm just thinking this guy has probably been going to craft stores for 60 or 70 years. Every single week. Then I started thinking this guy was probably around before they even had craft stores.
Make it a great Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.